We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
This is your wake-up call.
Wake the fuck up.
The Breakfast Club, the show you love to hate. From the East to the West Coast.
DJ Envy.
Angela Yee.
Charlamagne Tha God.
The realest show on the planet.
This is why I respect this show, because this is a voice to society.
Changing the game.
You guys are the coveted morning show, but y'all earned it.
Impacting the culture.
They wake up in the morning, and each day want to hear that Breakfast Club.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
We in the mother...
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ MV.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday.
Yes, it's Thursday. The weekend is almost here.
I started to call in this morning. I'm not going to lie.
Call in and do what?
I learned a harsh lesson yesterday. It's a lesson that I learned early on in my life, but I tend not to follow it sometimes.
What's that?
Can't eat everybody's Jamaican food, man.
What?
Curry chicken just does something to my stomach that is not conducive to me just being able to walk around normally without having to go to the toilet every 15 to 20 minutes. I woke up this morning around 4:15 a.m. in a cold sweat and a butthole I felt like I couldn't control.
Really?
But absolutely. We all ate the food yesterday.
And the food was, you know, not only did I eat the food, I took a huge pan home.
Oh.
And
I
had
have
it
any
for
problems.
Dinner. The kids had it for dinner. And it was actually one of the best jerk chickens I had because it wasn't too spicy. It wasn't too...
Saucy.
It wasn't the jerk.
Fresh.
It was the curry. The reason I know it was the curry...
I had some curry too, though.
Because when you wipe your butt and you look at the tissue...
Okay, we understand.
It's green.
We get it. We get
absolutely.
It. Well, shout out to Castro's jerk. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I had the curry as well.
They brought some food here yesterday after the show, and I thought it was good. I brought it home and everything.
Well, congratulations. It did me dirty. Okay. I spent the first 20 minutes of my life this morning on the toilet, and I jumped in the shower, and mid-shower, I had to jump out the shower to jump back on the toilet.
Really?
And then jump back in the shower. Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'm glad you got out of the
shower. Something's wrong with your butt then.
And so I took
Is that all you ate yesterday?
Yes, actually it is, because I had it again for dinner last night when I got home from the gym.
Yeah, I was not playing.
Absolutely.
I didn't take any home.
Yeah. I took a whole pan home. It was good.
Well, yesterday I did go, actually, to 2 Chainz listening party.
I tried to go, too.
I got in.
You got in?
Yeah.
When I got out there, there was a fire department. It seemed like
I must have got there exactly the right time, because I'm going to tell you what happened. Now, 2 Chainz had tweeted out, Fire Marshal shut down my listening.
Sure did.
Sorry to all my fans and supporters who got turned away. I'll make up for it tomorrow. Details coming. That's today. But I showed up, and when I got there, I came a little bit. I was going to go at 8, but I got there a little bit earlier because I was meeting somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Rolando. He is the Minister of Tourism for St. Martin.
Shout out to him. So did he get in?
Yeah, I got him in.
Oh, good.
So when I got they were like, they had shut it down already, but I knew the people at the door, and they were like, just come in right now. So I brought whoever was with me in right at that moment. You know how you just walk up at the exact right time?
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Then no one could get in, and there was way more people outside than inside.
Well, how was the party?
No one could get in, really. There was probably, I'm not going to lie, about 50 people inside, because the fire marshal wasn't letting anybody in. And then they kept coming inside and counting people, and I don't understand what the problem
was. They didn't play none of his new music, The Pretty Girls Love
They didn't Trump play music? Any of it, because no one, 2 Chainz showed up, and I think they let him in, but they wouldn't let anybody, you know, it was just a lot of people that couldn't get in, so I just left.
2 Chainz, I tried.
Sounds like a typical industry party to me, a whole bunch of hoopla for nothing.
Yeah, but I'm going to say one thing, that's why when I do my birthday party and events like that, I don't try to do it someplace that normally, I do it at a place that always does events that I know everybody will be able to get into.
Right, well, 2 Chainz, I tried. You always show us a lot of love, so I tried to show you some love. If you try it today, I ain't trying again.
But I had a good time.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news. What are we talking about, Yee?
Man, we were talking about this story yesterday with my friends. Imagine you think you're doing some Percocets, and then you end up dying from it. We'll tell you what's happening in Georgia.
And then you're going to play right into this record. Boy, the devil busy this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Hasan Minhaj from The Daily Show will be here this morning, too, by the way.
Yes, we'll kick it with him. And, of course, we got to tell you about the playoffs last night. Don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Give me some Pepto-Bismol.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, last night, the NBA Finals Game 3, the Warriors beat the Cavs 118-113. But that was...
finally a good game.
The Cavs game. Cavs should have won that game. They were up until about a minute 40 left.
Coulda, shoulda, woulda.
LeBron missed the layup. That would have ended the game if he'd made that layup.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not necessarily.
And Corbin, if he would have hit that three-pointer, the game would have been over. Both those instances. LeBron should have missed that layup.
Shoulda,
missed
woulda.
That wide open three, and they lost that game last night.
They had the momentum the whole game. Golden State Warriors are just a better team. The NBA Finals is Covfefe. Okay? You know what that means?
What's that?
Covfefe.
My goodness. It was a good game, though. It was actually a really good game. Please. The whole game. That was a great game.
The Cavs should still get one. I can't see the Cavs getting swept, but, you know, you still got some delusional Cleveland Cavaliers fans out there
mm-hmm.
who are saying stupid things like, well, last year we was down 3-1 and we came back to win the series. Last year they didn't have Kevin Durant out there. Okay? You're not beating the Golden State Warriors 4 games in a row.
And
it's not happening.
And I don't know what they can do next year to beat them. I really don't know.
They can add Carmelo. They can add Chris Paul. You know what I mean? It's a few pieces they could put together there. They bring it together. I mean, they're not going to get Chris Paul, but they can get Carmelo.
Mm.
They can definitely get Carmelo.
Yeah, Carmelo would be a good one. Now,
absolutely. You get rid of J.R. Smith and have Carmelo coming off the bench as the sixth man.
Yeah, J.R. Smith did some stupid plays, too. He does a lot of stupid plays
Carmelo's
every game.
Carmelo's still good
man.
For 20, baby.
I agree.
Care what nobody says. LeBron drive to the basket and kick it out. Carmelo can still shoot.
I agree. Now, let's talk about this overdose you were talking about, Yee. What happened?
Yes, there's been a wave of overdoses in Georgia. At least 4 people have died. And they said yesterday, in the course of a couple of hours, there were 6 more cases of overdoses. Those 6 cases were not fatal. But a lot of people have been hospitalized in the past couple of days as well from pill overdoses. If people think they're taking Percocet, it's like a small yellow pill. But there's some other unknown ingredients. Now, according to reports, the drug is 10,000 times more potent than morphine. People don't know what's in these pills. So basically, stop buying these street drugs. People are under the impression that these pills are safer than heroin and other things, but they don't even know what's in them. So just be careful if you're out there and you're thinking it's cool to buy a Percocet and take it. People are dying and having overdoses from it.
I mean, yeah, and we shouldn't be playing Molly Percocet record either. I don't care if it's a clean version or not. Because everybody's very familiar with the dirty version, and they know what the song represents.
Right.
So if you can't say, you know, don't take Percocets because people are dying from them, but then play Molly Percocet on the radio 100 times a day.
But we play
it's the same damn record. Stop it. Like, stop trying to... I hate when people try to justify what's wrong. If it's wrong, it's wrong all across the board. Let's be consistent.
And we playing a whole lot of wrong stuff on the radio.
Yes, we do.
All right. Okay. What else are we talking about on Front Page News, G?
We're talking about James Comey. Now, he will testify today. So everybody's paying attention to this. They're saying basically our government is going to shut down during this period of time just to watch him testify. And he is testifying that Donald Trump demanded loyalty and tried to get him to close an investigation into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Right. So we're going to see what happens. But they're saying that Trump already feels vindicated by Comey's testimony. He already knows what he's going to say. And he has set aside some time to watch this as well.
What, they wrote the script for him?
Well, yeah, he already has a written testimony. So he's now going to go forward this morning. And basically, he has a full statement already that's out that you can read. It's like 7 pages long.
All right. Well, that's Front Page News. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent. You want to have a great day, so you want to get something off your chest. 800-585-1051. Or if you feel blessed and you just want to spread some blessings upon the people, 800-585-1051. Call us right now. Phone lines are wide open. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Willie, good morning.
Yo, I'm actually kind of mad and blessed at the same damn time. I'm mad about that Covici over in Cleveland and the Cavs went not winning.
Yeah, the Cleveland Cavaliers are Covici. The whole NBA Finals is Covici, actually.
Yeah, some good Covici. But no, actually, I have some video footage from my dash cam because I survived. I don't know how, but almost crashed. I don't know if this person was drunk.
Wow.
Sleepy, I don't know. It was a two-way road. The only thing between me and that car was a guardrail.
Wow.
Why do you have a dash cam, sir?
Well, in the event that I died and my car got mangled and that dash cam was intact, then, you know, the investigators could see, hey, what happened?
I'm actually installing dash cams in all my vehicles. They're not that expensive. And if you get pulled over, it actually can film what exactly is going over when you get pulled over or if there's a problem.
That is true. There's another reason why I have a dash cam as well. But, I mean, like, it was crazy how I caught that. But, I mean, my heart, like, literally almost jumped out of my chest.
Wow.
Because I thought it was over for me. But,
are you going to share that footage on Instagram, sir? Or are you going to keep it to yourself?
I'm going to upload it. I will upload it. Remember, Charlamagne, I'm the guy that told you the difference between a doctoral student and a med student.
Oh, yeah. I met you the other day. I met you on... Where I meet you at?
At the bar in Miami.
In Miami. There you go. Yes, sir.
Thank you for calling, bro. Thank God you made it.
No problem. Thank you. Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. Dante, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, why are you mad at Mount Vernon, man? Why are you so upset?
Listen, man, you know, you got the police. I saw the news this morning. The police out in Jersey, they were kicking a man that was on fire, and it was actually the wrong
I
helmet.
Saw that. That
what
was
happened?
Awful.
Yes.
There was a car accident. Somebody was, like, on a police chase, and then the car crashed into this guy. He was on fire, and the police were kicking him.
They weren't trying to put him out? They weren't trying to stop the fire out?
No, they didn't put him out, and it wasn't the guy that they wanted.
Right. It was the wrong person.
It was the guy that was actually hit. And
he was
they
a victim.
Oh, so they thought he was the guy that was running, so they ran over to beat him up. And
how do we know
they
weren't stomping the guy out if he was on fire? They said he was on fire.
Well, you don't kick a guy if he's on fire.
But you stomp it out. You stomp fight. He might have been stomping.
No, you roll.
You stop and drop roll when you're on fire.
Did you see the video?
No.
You got to watch the video, man. He's kicking a guy.
You know? I got to see the video.
Yeah, I got to see the video,
too.
Because
you
stop, drop, and roll when you're on fire.
Right.
If you see something on fire, 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to try to stomp it out. You don't even have to stomp
a person. You don't kick a person.
I wouldn't know what I would do if I saw you on fire, if I ain't got no fire.
Well, don't stomp me out, please. How about that?
I might stomp on you.
Don't stomp me. Thank you, bro.
Really sad if you see it. It's really sad.
Hey, I'm going to look it up right now.
What was he running from? Running for?
No, he wasn't running. The car crashed into him. The car that crashed into him was the one that was on the high-speed chase. He had nothing to do with it.
Mm. All right, well, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hey, we have Puka on the line. Your name Puka?
Yes, baby. My name is Puka.
All right, Puka from the Bronx.
Hey,
now,
Puka.
Now, why are you mad this morning?
I'm mad because yesterday I was driving to go get some food and pick up some stuff, and I had to ride away at the light, and some girl was trying to come out from a parking lot, and she wouldn't wait, and she almost hit my car. So I had to swerve around her. So she had the audacity to pull up next to my car and start screaming at me like I was in the wrong. So I cursed the bitch out, and I told her to pull up. She tailed me to my destination and pulled up and came up to my car and got to the window and started talking about my weave. Nevertheless, she was the same one who got it over her head. I said, but I can look like this with my weave because I'm very pretty. You, on the other hand, look like you got 10 kids.
So, by the way, you admitted to her that your weave looks terrible.
She did.
You admitted defeat.
She definitely did.
I'm about to get my hair done this weekend. So
She caught you in a bad time.
Okay, so your weave wasn't looking right.
I'm sorry?
So your weave wasn't looking right.
My weave was okay. Like, there was nothing wrong with my weave.
She caught you at a bad time, Puka.
And I'm not going to lie. Charlamagne says the people are the craziest people are from the Bronx and Florida.
Florida, yeah.
And Mama, you from the Bronx.
Yeah, that's a fact. I don't know why people try to dispute that.
She tried to hit me with her car and then turned around and blacked on me. And I'm just looking at, like, shorty, you almost hit my car. Then she tried to say, I drive a Lexus. I said, but you're currently driving a 1999 Toyota. My car is a 2016. Like, what? You look like you're getting pimped out by some white motherfucker. Like,
oh, my God.
Puka.
Okay.
You look petty.
Puka, relax.
You're all right, petty. Puka, you have a great day.
Yeah. Puka's on her. Puka, you on your way to work? You on your way to work right now?
Yeah, so I'm about to clock in about 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, you're going to get pimped out by a white mother effer right now, too, as soon as you clock in.
Right. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Yeeks. Okay, well, after watching this video...
Thank you.
I would have to say that they were not trying to put a fire out.
They definitely weren't. They just walked up to him and started kicking him.
Guns out and everything. Yeah, they weren't trying to put no fire out.
Awful.
Okay.
This is disgusting.
Yeah, I feel really bad. He's 30% of his body is burned. He's still in critical condition.
And he was rolling. He was dropped out. He was rolling.
Yeah, he's doing what he's supposed to do. He was stop, drop, and roll.
He was stop, drop,
and roll.
And,
you know, if I saw somebody on fire, I would try to stomp him out, too.
No.
Nah, not this situation.
I can't justify that at all. And
I'm not justifying what they did because they weren't doing what I said I would do. But I'm saying if I saw somebody on fire, I would try to stomp them out. Well, were just stomping them to...
He was an innocent bystander in the situation. So.
Yeah, well, if you just joined us, I guess cops were chasing an individual in a car. That car crashed into somebody else. The person that they crashed into was on fire. He got out the car and started drop. What is it? Drop top roll? What? No, it's
stop dropping and rolling, man. You want to do Rough Riders anthem so bad? Stop, drop, shut him down, open up shop.
Well, he was rolling and the cops just started kicking his ass. Just so it was so disgusting. I'm sure we'll talk about it in the next front page.
Again, we are sorry for Miguel Feliz and his family, and hopefully he will survive and be okay.
We got rumors on the way?
Yes, we are going to talk about... I was watching this video. Okay, I don't know that much about Extension. Is that how you say his name?
Yes, he's a young rapper.
He got a dope record out right now.
I don't know a lot about him. Mm-hmm.
Go look at me.
But what I do know is that he just recently got jumped while he was on stage in San Diego, and we'll tell you what he said happened.
I wouldn't say jumped, but he got hit hard. But we'll talk about it when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk an artist by the name of XXXTentacion.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report. Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
We're just going to call him XXX right now because it's too long. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. He was performing in San Diego last night, and now video footage has emerged everywhere of him getting knocked out on stage. Now, he quickly went on Twitter after this happened and said, LOL, you should see the other guy. And he had this to say after the incident.
My most sincere apologies. My security is making me leave because of what happened, and they're saying I'm not safe. I'm giving you the liberty of explanation, all right? So on the 1, 2, 3, let me get a f***ing Rostov. 1, 2, 3,
who is Rob Stone?
Now, Rob Stone's another artist. That's his hometown. He has a song called Chill Bill. So I guess they've been having some back and forth. And they don't get along. Now, he also had went on his snap, and he said, "You did good. Your homie got a good hit on me. Won't lie, but how does it feel knowing your friend might die tonight because of you? Not saying I had anything to do with the, quote, stranger stabbing him, but your homie not looking too hot right now." And here's what else he had to say while he was on live.
"You see on the video, you see the security guard come over and help him and saw him run.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
And then it was more than one, but it was like five, ten. What's happening is basically I got jumped."
This is why I'm so glad that hip-hop is not just a young man's sport anymore, because I don't know any of these little Negroes you're talking about, and I don't care to know them after what you just told me. This is the first time I've ever heard us talk about Triple X on the radio, and we talking about him getting knocked out and people getting stabbed. Like, do you know any of his records?
Look at me. It's XXX records.
Emmy's a DJ. Emmy should know these records.
And other
too,
records.
So.
Yeah, but I play the records.
And Chill Bill is Rob Stone's record.
Right.
Chill. Yeah. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of relevant rappers closer to my age that I can enjoy. 2 Chainz got an album coming out.
All right, well, that video did go viral, though, and it does look crazy. He's on stage performing. Someone just jumps out from the side and punches him and knocks him to the ground, and then a melee ensues.
Where was his
that.
Security? His security should have caught him immediately.
Is that the same guy who was saying that Drake stole his style?
Yes.
He was talking about Drake's mom and all
yep,
that.
Yep. That same guy.
You get back the energy that you put out. What does he expect to happen in his life?
All right, now, Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom, apparently their iPad has been stolen. According to Star Magazine, they're saying an L.A. prostitute found the device inside a hotel room 2 years ago. And somehow she got into the iPad that was locked and found all these pictures of Khloe and Lamar. So supposedly there's some...
sex tape?
I don't know what's going to be on there.
No, nobody want to see two big naked power forwards in the bedroom together. No, nobody want to see that. Keep all that 6'6" XXX action to yourself.
All right, now let's go back to this Derek Fisher DUI crash. Now, to make matters worse, they're saying that the SUV that Derek Fisher wrecked, and he was in the car with his girlfriend, Gloria Govan, when this happened, and he was charged with DUI, the car was registered to Matt Barnes.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for this messiness.
Oh, my goodness.
Nothing like a little messiness and Covifi in the morning.
It was a 2015 white Escalade, and it hit the guardrail, flipped over while they were driving home from catch. And they're saying that the car was given to her specifically for the kids, for her to drive.
Take the kids around.
This lets
me know that Matt Barnes has some people around him that do roots and do voodoo, and they put roots and voodoo on that car. If another man ever drives this vehicle, allow it to wreck.
Well, fortunately, the car that was for the kids did not have the kids in it.
Right, didn't have any kids in it. It flipped over, and they made it out safely.
That's some good voodoo.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
Let's get in some front page news. The last night, the Warriors beat the Cavs in game 3, 118-113. It was actually a good game. The Cavs had that game. Minute 36 left. LeBron misses a layup. They get the ball back. Then he throws it to, what's his name, Corver?
Corver.
He misses the three-pointer, wide open three, and then they give it to Kevin Durant.
I'm going to be honest with
you. Kevin Durant hit that three-pointer, and it was just over, wrapped.
You never really have the game against the Golden State Warriors if you're only up by, like, 4 or 6. Like, that's literally 2 possessions for the Warriors, and they could be up. And you never really have the game.
But if they would have hit that layup, it would have been over. It still would have been up 2 with, like, 30 seconds left.
I don't like to do hypotheticals. All I know is the series is 3-0, and the NBA Finals are Covifi. Okay? And you got a lot of these delusional Cavs fans who are still saying things like, no, it happened last year. We were down 3-1 last year, and we came back and won the series. You really think you're going to win 4 games in a row against the Golden State Warriors? Come on, let's be a little realistic here, people.
It could happen.
I mean, anything could happen. I just don't think this is a possibility, okay? Last year, they did not have a weapon of mass destruction
and Kevin Durant
on their team.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen this year, but it could. All right, now let's talk about this overdose.
Yes, 4 people have died in Georgia, and dozens more people have been hospitalized, and that is because of pill overdoses. Now, people think they're buying Percocet, and it turns out what they're buying, they have no idea what's in these pills. It's a gray material, they're saying, that has a toxic cocktail of opiate drugs. And it looks like gray concrete mixing powder. It has different texture variations. It's either light and powdery, but it can even look chunky and rock-like. According to reports, the drug they are buying is 10,000 times more potent than morphine. So imagine that. It also includes an elephant tranquilizer inside of it. So
really?
People are overdosing and dying from this. Street drugs.
I'm so glad I don't have them kind of bad habits.
You know what it is? Kids seem to think that popping a pill is safer than doing heroin, and it has been glorified a lot in music.
Yeah, it may not be safer.
Like crazy
but
music.
It's cooler, because we about to play Represent, which is actually Molly Percocet, okay? It makes it sound very cool to do these drugs.
Yeah.
What else are we talking about on front page?
We're talking about James Comey. Now, he is going to appear before the Senate Intelligence Committee. This is happening, by the way, at 10 a.m. And bars in, around the area in D.C. are setting up, like, watch parties for you to come in and watch his testimony. He already has submitted his written testimony. And basically, the former FBI director, James Comey, will be saying that the president demanded his loyalty, pressured him to drop a probe into ex-National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, and pressured him to publicly declare that Trump himself was not under investigation. He said he was not very comfortable with the president's actions. It seemed like Trump was trying to create a patronage relationship with him, and he's going to testify that he felt compelled to immediately write down details of these encounters that he had with Donald Trump for the record. Okay, so he said that during a private meeting in the Oval Office, Donald Trump also said, I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go, to letting Flynn go. He is a good guy. I hope you can let this go. He said he only replied that he is a good guy. I did not say I would let this go.
Either times have changed or I watch too much movie and too much TV shows, because I feel like James Comey would have disappeared a long time ago if this was Homeland. This was Homeland, a scandal.
Absolutely.
James Comey, he'd Michael Flynn, they all would have disappeared.
Yep.
Well, Donald Trump, I'm sure, is going to be watching as well, so we'll be seeing what he writes on Twitter during this testimony.
This is great.
Okay. All right, well, that is front page news. When we come back, Hasan Minhaj will be joining us.
Hasan Minhaj, senior correspondent for The Daily Show. Mm-hmm. He has a great stand-up special on Netflix called Homecoming King. And he was the Muslim at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Okay, so we'll kick it with him when we come back. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
He is a senior correspondent for The Daily Show. He's got a stand-up comedy special on Netflix called Homecoming King. And he was the main speaker or whatever you call it at the White House Correspondents' Dinner this year.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Hasan Minhaj.
Yes, hey, sir. What's up?
Me and Hasan go back to MTV. What was the show you hosting on MTV?
Oh, my God. Philosophy.
Philosophy. I was thinking about that all last night. That's when they was doing their whole, like, trying to do another ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Philosophy. That's what
Man.
It was.
I knew, all right, this could possibly not go well.
Why? Why do you think that?
I mean, the title of the show was Philosophy.
Right.
And then it was like
pretty bad. It was like pretty bad.
Who
yeah.
Somebody at
Someone
MTV.
At MTV.
And Ridiculousness was popping then. They were just trying to make another Ridiculousness.
You know how when something works, then they're like, we just need Diet Pepsi that.
Right, they do that all the time in music. When one artist pops up, they're like, we need another
We
this.
Need 15 other artists.
Every label wants another artist just like that.
That was like, Philosophy was like the designer to Future.
There you go.
You know how it's like, it sounds the same, but it's not the
Absolutely.
Same. Like,
great
it was kind of like that.
How much has this current political climate helped your career, you think?
Political culture has become popular culture. Mm-hmm. Politics has become reality television.
Absolutely.
Because of Donald Trump?
Yeah, because he has that professional wrestling background. He's brought that to politics. So
I said that this morning because the Kardashians look so whack to me now ever since the Trumps got into the White House.
Yeah.
I'd rather keep up with the Trumps than the Kardashians.
Yeah, because reality is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's definitely bizarre.
What did you think about the whole Bill Maher situation with him using the N-word and then people wanting to fire him? And then some people saying, listen, Bill Maher is a friend to black people. It was wrong for him to do that, but we should let it slide. What would be your take?
Yeah, I think it's like this. So first of all, being from the Muslim community, we've had problems with Bill Maher before. He's got a lot of sort of Islamophobic rhetoric that he's, you know, done on the show.
Yeah,
that
being said, spoke about it on your special.
Yeah, I talk about it.
Change with Ben Affleck.
Yeah, so he's been doing that.
Yeah.
And he's kind of gotten a pass. People are like, no, he's a bastion of freedom of speech, and he gives it to politicians. I think those aren't mutually exclusive concepts. He's made a few bad decisions, but he's also groundbreaking and revolutionary in that medium. You know what I'm saying? So I can have problems with one and still give props in another way as well. You
have
know?
You ever used the N-word at all?
I actually used the N-word in reference to something that I was called. Do you know what I mean? I told a story.
Somebody the same energy they gave you. They call you a slur and you give it back.
No. In the special, I talk about.
No.
What are you talking about, Charlie? Jesus,
you
don't mean.
Like you crack ass. Right.
No, but I don't use the word. No. Yeah. And I've been called the sand N-word.
He was quoting what somebody said.
Yeah, but I don't openly use it now. Like, I've never understood that debate. Why is that a thing where it's like, can I use it? Like, why? I still don't understand the fundamental reason as to why.
I don't think we should use it either. It's black people.
See, but you know what, though? I have Muslim friends and Puerto Rican friends. And everybody uses the word, and it doesn't feel a way.
Because we all like brown and black. Well, you beige, but you know what I mean.
Shut up.
You are people of color.
Right.
My thing is err on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. Even if someone gives me the pass, like, oh, you can use it, I'm like, I just...
Why you shouldn't even want to?
Yeah.
It should feel wrong to you. Like, why would I
Yeah.
But you a hip-hop head, son. So what about when you listening to your favorite records? Are you
like
at a concert
YG
or something? Are you in the club?
But I'm also old enough to, like, understand context. So I'm just all right. So for me, it's just Paris.
Gotcha. In Paris.
It's just we're in Paris. Shout outs to Google Maps. We're in Paris.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to think about someone told me this, and I was like, man, knowing this and then using the word kind of messes with my head. He's like, there's no other word in the English language that says, hey, I used to own you like property.
Ooh, I like that.
What other word has that connotation?
Ho.
I don't know, man.
Not even.
So to me, I can't speak on that. Yeah, so to me, using that word, that's,
gotcha,
you
like
know
that.
What I'm saying?
Is it powerful?
I'm old, I'm 31. I know, now I'm old enough to know, like, I don't know, man. You know, in the special, I talk about a hate crime that happened at my house post 9/11.
When they threw the glass at
you? Yeah,
yeah.
And the people that were calling our house called me and my dad a sand end, you know? But I made the choice to use the word in the special so that people could hear it. This is what people have called me.
Mm-hmm.
A San N, a Dune Coon, a Camel Jockey. Say it.
Dune Coon.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? Yeah.
No, that's kind of funny.
But to say it.
That sounds crazy. I like alliteration. So Dune Coon is funny.
Yeah. But it's not, but...
But you know what I mean.
Charlamagne's like, man, that hate crime was hilarious.
This guy's crazy.
So, you know, they smashed in the windows to our house, but you're like, yo, your alliteration game, though. My God, it's poetic.
But no, y'all, you do Charlamagne.
You're nuts, man.
But you do that on the special, though.
Yeah.
Like, it'll go into these real deep moments.
Yeah.
And then you're like, damn. Then you come out with a joke.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Am I supposed to laugh?
Yeah. But laughter and crying are two sides of the same coin. You've ever been in a really f***ed up situation, and then you're also like, this is kind of hilarious.
Oh, yeah. I got beat up so bad one time, and I just was all swollen, and I was crying, and then it just turned to laughter.
Yeah.
And the first time I masturbated, I laughed and cried at the same time.
Jesus, man.
I did, because the girl that had broke my heart, I thought masturbation was a bad thing, so I was f***ing off because I hadn't had sex with her in a while because she was messing with somebody else, and I was crying, like, look what you're making me do.
Uh-huh.
But those tears are good at that point. It's like a lubricant.
Shut up.
That's fine. That's your boy. You shake his hand all the time.
I do.
But I meant to ask.
And I just wanted to say what the special is, because we keep saying the special.
Right,
but it's on Netflix. It's Homecoming King.
Yeah.
Now, question. Well, how do you feel when comedians make Muslim jokes? Does that bother you at all?
I'm really a proponent of free speech. So say what you want to say. But I'm a big advocate in presenting the best argument. May the best argument win.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get up there and you can say whatever you want to say. You have the right to do that. Whether it's a comedian or Richard Spencer, you can do that. You're going to face potential repercussions.
There you go.
But as a comedian, I'm like, I'm going to present a better argument to the audience. And I would hope that the audience is like, yeah, that guy's right.
Mm-hmm.
Not this insane dude.
All right, we got more with Hasan Minhaj. When we come back, we have to talk about that correspondence dinner that Donald Trump didn't show up. And more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have comedian Hasan Minhaj in the building. Now, Yee.
I was reading an article about how they said the depiction of Muslims in Hollywood is non-existent or not very positive.
Yeah, generally not. Like, if you look at, like, Homeland, it's always from the perspective of these crazy brown dudes are radicalizing and they've come here to kill us. What is going on with these deranged young brown kids? And to me, I would love to see a narrative, and that's what I wanted to do in Homecoming King, is what is the 99.9% of Muslims, what do they deal with in the face of insanity?
Right.
So when a terrorist attack happens, how do they navigate the collateral damage of that?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You spoke about that in your special. You spoke about how after 9/11, how America felt. But then also how Muslims and Muslim families felt. Like, you know.
I talked about this idea of the American dream tax. A lot of immigrants believe in this concept where, like my parents, they immigrated here. They feel like if you immigrate to the country, you pay this thing called the American dream tax. You're going to go through some racism. And if it doesn't cost you your life, well, you lucked out. Just pay the tax.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
But I was born here. So I'm a citizen. I actually have the audacity of equality.
And
I'm like,
no,
I'm equal.
I love that phrase.
Like, I pay my taxes. I'm a contributing member of society. Mm-hmm. So that's the dichotomy that my generation and my parents' generation, they struggle with.
Now, do you think it's an irrational fear of Muslims in America?
No, I think the conversation that we need to have, we need to level up the conversation to say blacks are the problem, Mexicans are the problem, Muslims are the problem. No, it's violent extremism.
Right.
Mm. So violent extremism has no color
right.
or religion. The dude who just mowed through Times Square.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or the guy that stabbed the guy the Muslims on the train.
Yeah, yeah, or the dude in Portland. Yeah. Every community, there are groups of insane people in the world. So combating that, that's the real conversation that we need to
and
have.
And that's what I always say. Muslims don't like extremist terrorists. That
the majority of people, the majority of people that ISIS actually kills are Muslims.
Right.
That's the sad thing. They blow up mosques. They're insane people. Also, this irrational fear of Muslims in America. We're already here, and we already control every aspect of your life. Think about New York City: food, transportation, medicine. We have it all on lock. You leave this building, you're like, Habib, let me get a kebab. All right. Oh, I'm so sick. Muhammad, drive me to the hospital.
That was racist.
Sure thing. Dr. Khan will see you now. At every corner, we could have gotten you, but we didn't. So you're welcome.
This guy
is insane. Can you? My mom is a doctor. She works at the VA. She's been there for decades. At every corner, she could have poisoned you. She didn't. So you're welcome. So we're contributing members of society. This is insanity to think that 1.5 billion Muslims want to destroy the earth.
Now, what do you think should be done about radical Islamic extremists? Because, like, you hear about the Muslim bans and the ICE organization that's rounding people up. Like, what do you think?
We're on the third travel ban. Yeah. There are more travel bans than Star Wars reboots. It's insane. How do you combat extremism? I don't know. I'm not an expert. Again, I'm not the FBI.
Has it affected you and your family traveling? Or
I'm lucky because my family is from India.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's not one of the seven countries that was on, you know, the ban. So I'm very lucky in that way. But it's strange, especially coming out of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I took a lot of heat from, you know, the alt-right and that new movement of insane people on Twitter. And
I'm racist bigots.
Yeah, I'm not like you, because you engage.
Yes, I do.
That's insanity.
You crack-ass cracker.
Yeah, that's insanity.
Oh, my God. Why did you...
What's wrong with you?
That's crazy.
You got to give them...
Charlamagne.
You're giving up.
It's not even 10 o'clock yet.
We have guests here.
Jesus Christ, man.
We're going to have to bleep that.
I'm sorry.
Like, Charlamagne's ready to go at Steve Bannon. I'm like, I'm trying to live my life.
Richard Spencer, all of them. I can't
really?
Stand them. Yes.
What is wrong with you?
Why do you choose not to engage?
What am I going to solve by going at an egg avatar on Twitter?
Do you sometimes feel like you ever type something and then delete it because you get so irritated? Because that happens. Sometimes I do that, but I don't engage either.
Angela, at what point will me going at Baldrape 97, how is that going to be?
I do.
Yeah,
and then you click
it.
On the Abby and you feel stupid as hell because some fat white guy hugging his girlfriend. He's like, this can't be real. This can't even be him.
Now, what if Donald Trump tweeted you or something about something you said? Would you engage that?
I thought he was going to call me out after the dinner.
Yes.
Because he's that crazy.
Right.
I heard you had bars ready for him.
I had some stuff. I called it, what was it called? DEFCON Orange.
Mm-hmm.
In case he showed up, I had like an orange card ready to go of like, these are all the jokes that I'm going to do if he shows up in the room.
I thought that moment was so good for you because nobody else wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And you stepped up, Muslim comedian, just made perfect sense. And I was like, either this is going to go really well for Hassan or really bad. And you rose to the occasion.
Thank you, man. Yeah, that was a classic immigrant situation. Nobody wanted to touch it. It was a job no one wanted to do. I came in with my bucket and my mop, and I'm like, all right, give it to the immigrant. IT is here to solve the problem. And I just came right in, and I did what my dad and my mom and so many other immigrants have done coming to this country. All right, you guys don't want to do this? We'll do this, and we're going to rip it. Yeah.
Now, what about Kathy Griffin and that whole situation with her holding the
three-headed
Donald Trump?
Be cutting? You don't got to be cruel. So I don't have to hold a decapitated head of a president to show that I dislike you.
Can you imagine if you would have did that?
Or can you imagine? Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
My career would have been over. But I think about the opposite. When people are like, no, Kathy Griffin's right. Imagine some conservative comedian, Jeff Foxworthy or whatever, holding up a decapitated head of
Barack Obama.
Elizabeth Warren, Barack Obama.
World War III.
Yeah, we'd have been like, this is insanity.
Right.
So to me, I'm like, I'm all for, again, an open marketplace of ideas. May the best idea win. That was not a great idea. Again, you can be critical. You just you don't have to burn the entire building down or go after Barron, or you don't have to do that.
What about this whole concept of phobias, right? Like when you talk about Islamophobia and things like that, I keep saying that I feel like people fear what they don't understand.
Correct.
That's why I say again, your stand-up special is very good, because if I've never had a conversation with a Muslim person, I can watch this and hear this POV as opposed to just getting fed things from the media.
Correct. You watch Homeland, you're like, these people are terrifying. Mm-hmm. If you watch, say, you know, Homecoming King, to me, again, I think it's a representation of, this is what 99.999% of new brown America has to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it's like. They turn on their TV and they're dealing with collective guilt. And I wanted to put that perspective out there. I'm empathetic to people that are being fed a distorted version of reality. I'm empathetic to that. You only make decisions based on what you know. But I think also, you got to hold people accountable to say, hey, you also have to be open to new information.
Do your research.
I'm not against that.
We appreciate you for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
Make sure you watch that special on Netflix if you haven't had a chance to see it yet.
It's called Homecoming King. And you can watch them on The Daily Show every night.
Thank you.
Where can they find you, man?
You can find me on Twitter at Hasan Minhaj and Instagram at Hasan Minhaj. And yeah, peep the special, man.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. Hasan Minhaj. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Thank you.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, Chris Brown is going to be releasing his documentary, Chris Brown, Welcome to My Life, in theaters nationwide. And that is actually going to be today. So he's going to have appearances from J-Lo, Usher, Jamie Foxx, and more. And they're going to talk about the periods of his life that were very tumultuous, his relationships, his legal problems over the past few years, and everything. And he also has his album coming out soon. So there you have it if you're a big Chris Brown fan.
I think we have audio. We have audio?
Was any of it difficult to record?
The process was, because, you know, throughout the transition of us filming it, it took like maybe a two-year process. But, you know, I was incarcerated. I had different things that were kind of like my trials and tribulations while I tried to, you know, showcase my life. That was the hardest part, you know, because it was reality. It was real. None of this is like fabricated or etched to make you feel a certain way. Yeah. It's just raw.
So that's in theaters?
Yeah, just for one day, though.
Oh.
So if you're a fan of his, and then I'm sure it'll be available elsewhere after that. But if you're a big fan of Chris Brown and you want to go check that out and see these exclusive interviews and hear him talk firsthand about what's going on. And he actually had a premiere for it, and he brought his daughter to it, so it was really cute.
I'm sure Chris, his mom's too.
Yeah, I'm sure Chris Brown fans will run out and go see that.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, if I get some time to go to the movies, I'm going to see Wonder Woman. I'm going to swallow my prejudice.
Oh, so
DC.
You are going to go see Wonder Woman.
I'm going to swallow my prejudice to DC and go see Wonder Woman.
All right, that's good news. I was telling you, everybody's talking about what a great movie it is. And broke a lot of records for women, as it was directed by a woman.
Okay.
All right, Ariana Grande is back on the road. Now, she was performing in Paris. She had extra security. They actually patted down the fans and inspected basically every inch of their bodies. And she actually has added Somewhere Over the Rainbow. That's going to be a staple for her show as well now. That was her closing show for her closing song for her One Love Manchester show. And she performed it in Paris, too. Here is Ariana Grande singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
All right.
Oh, okay. That's sad. Just listening to that and knowing everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
In Manchester.
The man, Somewhere Over the Rainbow is like Man in the Mirror. It's definitely going to bring tears to your eyes, regardless of what the situation is, what the context is. Mm-hmm. When you hear that record, your eyes going to water up a little bit.
Yep.
All right, Eminem has given high school graduates in Flint, Michigan, at all the Flint community schools, some free Beats by Dre headphones for the graduating classes.
So that's every school?
Yeah, it's for the Flint community schools.
Okay.
So graduates were gifted a free pair, and they were sent in by Eminem himself. And right when they went up on stage to get their diploma, they were gifted those. And he also even put up a video congratulating all of them. And they played that throughout the speaker system. So.
Well, at least somebody giving the people in Flint something. Round of applause for the people in
right.
Flint. Damn
absolutely.
It. Jesus Christ.
And Big Sean did a lot, too. He raised money as well.
Mm-hmm.
for the water crisis in Flint, Michigan. All right, people are going in on Jessica Simpson. Some of them are upset. Now, I don't know if you guys saw, but she posted photos of her daughter, 5 years old, wearing a bikini, and people were going in saying that it was inappropriate. If you have Revolt TV, you can see the pictures of her daughter.
Right. I didn't even know Jessica Simpson was still a thing.
Now, people were writing to... She actually makes a lot of money off of her clothing, her shoes, and all of that. They said she might make up to $1 billion. Her industry with that, her branding is incredible.
Yeah, she's been doing well for a long time with that.
All right, now, people were saying it was inappropriate, too much, too soon, not cool in a world filled with pervs. People were writing, protect your children. This is not for social media. And saying they would never post a photo of their own young daughter's swimmer just because.
I always have
you in your opinions. That's a five-year-old. She's wearing a bikini. She's going to the pool or the beach. F you in your opinions. I put my daughter in a bikini at the age of 4. If you look like that or you think like that, you the creep.
Yeah, something's wrong with you if you look at a five-year-old and like you're like, that looks sexy or that looks inappropriate. Like,
that bothers the issue.
Why is your brain working that way?
Yeah, why? Like on a five-year-old? Like, that's not even something I would think of.
I didn't even, when I saw that, the first thing I noticed was that little scooter she had.
I thought the scooter too. I said, oh, what kind of scooter is that? I got to get my little daughter a scooter. That's what I thought.
Think about the bikini.
Yeah, I mean, I find it to be very weird that people would criticize something like that because if you go to the beach, kids are wearing bathing suits, so it's
and
not
bikinis.
Like something you can't wear in public.
Nobody's looking at a five-year-old like, oh, look at that sexy girl. No, she's a five-year-old enjoying the beach, you pervert.
What do you think about going to the beach and having your daughter, like, having no top on and just the bottoms?
Oh, she got to have a top on.
Why would that happen?
Like, she got to have a top
I've
on.
I've seen people do that when I've been at the pool and been on vacation.
A little girl?
With little girls. Because they're little young girls, so it's not like there's anything. But I definitely have seen that.
No, the most inappropriate thing I see is when sometimes you see these little boys, and they be 4 and 5 years old, and they be butt naked. Little pee-pee just running around.
I'm like,
if you
pool?
Don't, the pool.
What pool are you
the
going
ocean,
to?
The ocean. You be like, but if you don't put some clothes on that little boy.
Yeah, that's
little, weird.
Yeah.
That's a little awkward.
I don't like that. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed up.
So like a donkey.
Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Hey! Donkey of the Day for Thursday, June 8th goes to Phil Stair. Now, you may not know who Phil Stair is, but he is an official at an agency that manages foreclosed homes in Flint, Michigan. The name of the place is Genesee County Land Bank, and Phil Stair was a sales manager at the bank. Now, unless you've been on another planet or living in a bubble somewhere, then you are fully aware of the Flint water crisis. Flint, a city that has a lot of debt, switched from buying Detroit's pretreated water to using Flint River water, and Flint River water, which is way more toxic, was not properly treated under orders from state officials, causing lead from old pipes to go into the city's water, and boom, there you have the Flint water crisis, okay? The Flint water crisis was a complete failure of government, period. Everybody knows this. It was an FBI investigation. City officials got charged. Like, it's not a secret. But Phil Stair doesn't believe that. Phil Stair is actually victim-blaming. And not just victim blaming. You know, a lot of people say not only was it a failure of government in Flint, Michigan that caused the water crisis, it was systemic racism. And it's not hard to argue the systemic racism part when you hear Phil Stair say that the Flint water crisis was caused by N-words. Yes, Phil Stair, an official at an agency that manages foreclosed homes in Flint, blamed the Flint water crisis on N-words. Cut the music and let's play the audio.
I'm Fred Beach, 24 guys, and I'm the only white guy. I got friends, I mean, there's trash, there's people that do this. They just don't pay their bills.
F and N-words don't pay their bills. That, ladies and gentlemen, is bigotry.
Right? That is disgusting.
Context matters, and a white man saying the N-word is always out of context.
Get him up out of there.
But in that context, Phil Stair said F and N-words don't pay their bills, and then said, I don't want to call them N-words. If you have never heard bigotry before in your life, there you have it. Not to mention victim blaming at its finest, like textbook victim blaming, like you rape a woman and then say it was her fault because of what she was wearing, victim blaming.
You poison our community and say it's our fault.
Yeah. Now, of course, Phil Stair resigned
And in his resignation letter, he did one of those insincere apologies that I hate because they only come after said person receives backlash. He said he was deeply sorry for what he said in the recording, which he described as his private opinion on the Flint water crisis and insensitive language. I do not know how I can face my friends and coworkers. Well, you don't have coworkers anymore because you resigned, so you don't have to worry about that. And those black friends you're talking about, they should have unfollowed you on all social media sites already. And if they haven't, I want to know why.
Don't stand next to that guy.
Yeah, how can you still be friends with a person when you hear them talking about your people like this? Wow. Listen, Phil. The true test of a man's character is how they act when nobody's watching. Phil had no idea he was being recorded, so therefore he didn't know people were watching, so that is who he is. So don't hand me that I'm sorry BS, because it's not genuine. You have shown us exactly who you are, and we believe you. So, Phil, we're going to give you that same energy you gave us.
Cracker ass cracker!
Well, I was just going to say, you know, racist bigot, but that'll do. Please give Phil Stair the biggest hee-haw, please.
How did he even have a chance to retire or resign?
I don't know.
They should have fired him to make a bigger statement.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
And nobody better hire him out there either.
Thank you for that donkey today. Up next, Ask Ye. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Ye, relationship question, or you need some advice, call Ye right now. 800-585-1051. We'll put you live on the air, or you can always email us. What's your email, Ye?
Help me ye at gmail.com.
Salute to everybody out there with an upset stomach this morning, suffering from a little diarrhea. That's me taking a little shot of Pepto-Bismol.
Some things you can keep to yourself.
For all the homies who ain't here.
Yeah, you could have kept that one to yourself.
Sounded wet.
All right. Ask Ye's next at the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Envy Angela Ye, Charlamagne Tha God, we are the Breakfast Club. Hello, who's this?
This is Dee.
Hey, Dee, what's your question for Ye?
I've been dating my boyfriend for about a year and a half, but we've known each other. He was like my first love in high school, so we've known each other for 15 years. Mm-hmm. I know he loves me. I love him very much, but he is struggling with an addiction to alcohol. And so when he is drunk, he's just useless, let's say.
Well,
so
yeah.
I didn't know if that was...
Is he trying to get help? Because part of trying to recover from an addiction is to try to get help. Because addiction is a disease, alcohol addiction.
Right.
Is it something that he's trying to do, as in get help because he knows he has a problem?
He, you know, goes back and forth with AA. But other than that, not really, I wouldn't say. I think he wants to quit. I think he's scared, as most people are.
Right. Okay. I mean, that's a tough one because the main thing is, like you said, he does want to get help, but it's not an easy addiction to kick at all. That's why so many people have struggled with it. And I'm sure that you feel like if I leave him, I would hate for something to happen and for his alcoholism to get even worse.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's affecting your life a lot as well, and you're concerned about him.
Exactly. I didn't know when it would be like a good... I mean, I don't know if there is a time where it would be like, this is enough for the end, or I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Have you been supportive as far as going with him to his meetings and trying?
I've never gone to a meeting for him, with him. I've looked up other like resources for him, trying to get him help, suggestions, stuff like that. But I've never actually gone with him to a meeting.
Okay. I mean, listen, you love him, and that's the issue that you guys have, and you care about him. So let's just say, even if y'all one day don't end up together, I'm sure you want him to kick this addiction and move on with his life.
Yes.
I would recommend that you be as supportive as possible. Does he want you to come with him?
He's asked me one time.
Because I do feel like things like that could be helpful to you, for you to understand maybe why he does the things that he does, so you can be more of an influence for him. But... what's really important is that nobody can quit these things unless it's not easy to do, and unless they make a real committed effort.
Right.
And in order, it's not your responsibility and it's not your fault, but if you care about him, you should do whatever it is that you can to try to help him. And if that help means you physically being there, then that might be something that takes it to the next level.
Yeah, I've never tried that. That's true. I could go with him, support him through that.
Right. So I would suggest trying that. And I also do other people around him, like family members and other people that he's friends with, are they helpful as well?
I would say his family, his friends, no. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I believe he needs to cut off his friends, but, you know, I can't say that.
Well, and that's another thing. And that might be a conversation for you to have with his family, to have them even be more supportive. And with his friends, not that he has to cut his friends off, but you should just be like, listen, he's struggling with alcoholism. It is a disease. It's an addiction. He's potentially awful things could happen. And if you're really his friend, then it would be great if you guys could be helpful as well, as in let do things that don't include drinking.
True. Yeah.
Okay. And good luck to you.
Thank you.
And let us know if there's anything we can do and, you know, any expert professional help that you need to get. I know you've been trying and reaching out and researching different things, but you can always check back with us and we can try to help you out as well with that.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a good one. Good luck, Mama.
All right. Thank you.
That's a difficult one to deal with, and you have to be a great person if you love
somebody.
You
gotta be a strong person, too, yeah.
Be by their side through that.
Absolutely. Ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, is DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we have Candace on the line. Now, Candace, you're from North Carolina. You've recently been engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, what did you find out about the ring, Mama?
So, I was looking through some old photos. I mean, I knew he had been engaged before to his ex a couple of years ago. So I'm looking at some photos, and I saw a photo of his ex wearing the same engagement ring.
Oh. Tacky.
Whoa.
So because I gave the ring back to him, and I'm like, number one, because I always think in the back of my mind, like, it's just the same ring that he used, but I never had any proof. And I actually asked him that one day, and he said no, he went and traded it. So
he lied?
Whatever. Right, he lied. So now I'm looking at these photos, and I bring it to his attention, and he's like, oh, that's not the same ring.
This guy.
So I'm like, number one, am I being too hard on him about this ring, even though it's for his ex? You know,
Right. Is it, Candace, is it possibly not the same ring?
I can send you the photos. They look identical to me, but to him, they're not the same ring.
Okay, the bigger issue is this. Is he lying? That's the bigger issue. It's not
exactly.
It's not necessarily the ring. It's when you asked him, is he lying to you about whether or not it's the same ring? Because I would hate to find out that you asked him a question directly and he lied to your face when you have photographic evidence. That's not a good sign.
Right.
So that's why I'm asking you, is it really the same ring? I would love for you to send me the picture so I could actually see a side by side and make that determination. But what I would tell you to do is, do you guys have other issues, or is this the first like real thing that's been?
This is the first real thing that came up.
Okay, well, I think what you need to tell him is, listen, it just makes me uncomfortable. I love you. I want to marry you. It's not all about the ring, but it does make me uncomfortable to think that I might have a very similar ring or possibly the same ring as your ex. So what would be a great thing to do as a compromise for both of us is, let's pick a different ring out.
Right.
But the bigger issue really is he telling you the truth when you ask him a question? I know it's, you know, maybe he never thought he would get caught. Maybe he thought he would do this and you wouldn't have any, you would never notice or never find out. So he just instinctually lied. Who knows? But if this is the only issue you guys have ever had, I wouldn't make it the biggest deal in the world. But what I would let him know is, listen, you know, no matter what in a relationship, there are going to be problems that arise. It's how you solve those problems and how you deal with them. So how I would deal with it is say, listen, I know you said this is not the same ring. All good. It looks too similar for me. Can we at least, just so I'm more comfortable, do this and we can move on?
Okay.
All right. Good luck, Mama.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, ask Yee.
800-585-1051.
I'm sure it's the same ring.
Well, how are you sure?
If it looks like it, he probably thought he got the ring back. His girl would never find out. And right. He probably tried to throw it the same ring.
That's the bigger issue. Are you lying?
What does it matter if it's the same ring or not, though?
It matters if he lied.
Trade the ring in, man. Get another ring.
Because it'd be different if he said, yeah, you know what? Yes, it is. She gave the ring back. Nobody would say it. But he lied now.
Don't ask, don't tell. Okay, that's what you get for being all nosy and being worried about the past. Why are you concerned about the past? You should be focusing on the future. Look forward. That's why Lot's wife turned to salt, because she looked back, God said, look forward, look forward.
When I have this old ring from the past, I can't help but look back every time I look down at my hand.
Oh, you shouldn't have been looking for old pictures.
All right. Ask ye. 800-585-1051. Now we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about Tamar versus Tiny. You know, the two of them were best of friends, their children's godparents and everything. And they had a huge falling out. Well, now they're trying to resolve things, but there's a lot of other extra side issues.
Okay. Also, we have a huge announcement happening right before the mix. You don't want to miss
it. Why don't y'all tell me about these things?
The huge announcement?
Yes.
Because sometimes you say the announcements first, like you what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, I talk about it before I'm supposed to talk about it?
Yes.
Oh,
you
okay.
Ran your mouth.
Like it comes out before it's really supposed to happen, so we just...
That's why I'm drinking Pepto-Bismol.
Wow. Okay. All right, well, that happens right before the mix. So don't go anywhere. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk power.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right, Power is coming back to Stars on June 25th.
And can't wait.
Guess who Lala Anthony's character, Lakeisha, is going to be dating on this new season?
Who? So she back? She not dead?
She's back.
Okay.
She is going to be dating Tommy. They're going to have some type of romance going on. So I'm excited for that. That should be interesting. Now, when Joseph Sikora, who plays Tommy, was questioned about it, he said, this is my sister, and if you talk bad about her, I'm going to kill you. He said, I think we have a mutual admiration for each other. We built up a friendly relationship, so then you are put into a mock sexual relationship. Obviously, no private parts are being put near each other, but we really are kissing and touching, so it is a luxury to do it with somebody you like and respect.
Didn't Tommy want to kill Keisha last season, if I'm not mistaken? I always got to watch the last season before I catch up because Power takes so long to come back. But I feel like they were trying to kill Keisha at the end of last season.
That's why people thought she disappeared. Hmm. So, I don't know. But they were doing all kinds of illegal things out of her shop, remember?
Yeah. So, basically, we're going to see Lala's Tatas again this season.
Well, we don't know
that. It's a possibility.
It's a possibility. Dropping the clues bombs for Lala's areola. Salute to Lala.
And really, that looks really different when she's single, you know, in real life.
She is? I don't know.
We don't know if she's single.
Well, allegedly, according to reports, they're not together. All right, Tamar has apologized to Tiny. The two of them haven't been getting along. They've been having a lot of back and forth, and it's really sad because, you know, that's the children's godparents and everything, and T.I. had even weighed in and said that they should just get over their beef with each other. And then Tamar went on Instagram and said, you know, I've been thinking, although I don't like social media is not the best place to work out personal issues. Sometimes it can be the most effective way to get your loved one's attention. I love you guys and Tiny, you. Since I was 19 years old, I would have never dreamed that none of us would be in this position. Against public perceptions, we know it's not because of that show or lies that Paperback Toya has said or anyone else who has had something to say about the disagreement. So Paperback Toya is Toya Wright. That's who she's referencing.
By the way. Drop one of Clues Bombs for Tamar Braxton. I love good slander, right?
Right.
And I love good creative witty slander. Paperback Toya is funny as hell.
She's so petty.
That's funny, though.
Well, at the end of the post, Tamar apologizes to Tiny. She said, I'm sorry for my part in the hurt, and I want to have my best friend and her family, including all of our kids, and Tip all back together again. Now, it seems like Tiny has accepted that apology, but Toya's mad now.
Let's go, Paperback Toya. You fire back. Oh, Fireback Toya.
Now, Toya said, Paperback Toya? Really, bitch? What does your non-sincere apology and fake-ass public outreach have to do with me? You are the fakest bitch I know.
Damn.
You wrote all of that pathetic, attention-seeking bullish, but you conveniently forgot to tell them why you're really mad. Speak up. I'll tell them, and you and your so-called best friend of 19 years fell out. Why didn't you tell them how petty you really are? What type of bitch gets mad because a friend posts a birthday message about another friend? Damn. I have your answer, though. The same petty-ass bitch that got mad at everyone who went on the Real Talk show that she was fired from. I'm sick of you popping off on everybody and then playing victim with your over-the-top, under-the-table ass. You talk ish about your own sisters. You a disrespectful, disloyal, jealous attention fiend. It goes on.
That's not Paperback Toya. That's Clapback Toya. By the way,
she signed it Love Always Paperback Toya. My new book will be dropping in July.
Yeah, what's wrong with paperbacks, though?
Nothing.
I'm waiting for my book to come out on paperback.
I guess it's cheaper than the hardcover version. I don't know.
Yeah, but a book is a book, and you can't even really get... I don't think you can even get hardcover books in the prisons.
Well, she took offense to being called paperback toy.
Paperback toy is funny.
That is
hilarious.
All right, and the last thing that I want to say is that Tom Cruise confirmed that there's going to be a Top Gun sequel. I don't know if y'all all saw Top Gun, but that movie came out in 1986, and Val Kilmer posted a picture of himself, and he definitely wants to be on there. He said, still got it, just saying. So
when are we going to discuss the fact that Tom Cruise has had more work done than any Instagram model or any Kardashian Jenner?
Haven't seen him in a long time.
That man has not aged since at least the age of 32.
It's not just Scientology? Does it? That he just looks so...
I don't know.
I don't know what goes on in there.
That man has not aged since at least the age of 32, bro.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, drum roll, please.
I really wish y'all started telling me about these things beforehand.
I can't, because you spoil it.
It's going down Saturday, September 23rd at the Las Vegas Village on the Strip across from the Luxor.
I thought we announced this already.
We did, man.
We got a new announcement. You're ruining it.
Now, we already told you about Khalid.
What?
Khalid, right? That's the name, right?
Khalid or Khalid?
Which one?
You said the same thing.
Because iHeartRadio, Khalid. DJ Khalid works for iHeartRadio.
Not DJ Khalid. The other one.
Khalid.
We playing his music all the time, and he can't show up for us?
No.
We need to give us the other guy?
Come on, you messing this announcement up.
Okay. What is this?
And then we tell you about French Montana.
Huh?
No black woman will be there. They still haven't forgiven French.
You're not helping it. Like, you're supposed to help the situation. This is not helping.
Well, that's what you get when you don't pre-plan me.
Supposed to tease. All right. And now, just add it. The Migos!
To what?
I just told you what it was.
I told you, Radio Music Festival Daytime Village.
Oh, okay. Are you listening?
You didn't lead with that.
I did lead with it. I said it's going down Saturday, September 23rd at the Las Vegas Village. That's what I started.
Across from the Luxor.
That's how I started it.
Okay.
I started off. We got to do it again.
All right.
You ruined the announcement. That's why no one tells you anything.
Get ready for our Daytime Village presented by Capital One at the 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival.
Okay.
It's going down Saturday, September 23rd.
Oh, man. What is it?
We told you about Khalid.
Oh, who?
You know what? I'm going to just take it from here.
I keep messing up his name.
I'm going to take it from here. We have performances by French Montana and Khalid, and we just added the Migos! That's right. So make sure you join us in our VIP suite. You can get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. Join us for our Daytime Village.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart.
and I'm very forgiving, but like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.